Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Ready, set, pod. Welcome, everybody, to the Great British Bake Off Wrap Up Podcast. I'm Haley Strong. I'm here for a sweet week on Chocolate Week with some great friends who are also sweet. My buddy, Gooey Center Kurt Clark. Hi.
Hey there. How's it going?
I didn't just give you that nickname. That is the nickname on the screen right now. I realized after, I was like, that sounds weird.
It's
to me saying it out loud.
Oh, that's true, 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 true. No, just an homage to one of the many elements of a perfect brownie that I would likely fail upon my first 17 attempts.
And it's funny because they always call me Crack Top.
There you go. Because your college nickname.
My college nickname, Crack Top. Crack Top? No, Cracked Top.
Oh, okay.
Very different. Emily Fox, what's up?
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm swell.
Excellent.
Fudgy. Yes. Yes. Slightly underbaked.
Yes. Well,
that's how I feel today. Slightly underbaked.
I am perfectly baked.
What kind of brownies did you make this week, Kurt?
Oh, it's funny because it should be true.
Welcome, everybody, to Chocolate Week. So we've gone through the first three of our usual bake-off weeks. Now we're getting into the different ones. So Chocolate Week, we don't see it every season, but we have it here. I thought these were three good challenges. I think last week we were worried that they're going to have to make some sort of like chocolate sculpture in the heat, and none of us really wanted to see that. I thought this week was a great representation of the challenges I want to see on Bake Off. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think traditional stuff in this level is a welcome relief from all of the sculpture horror that we've seen so far. Looking at a tiered cake, understanding that like a cake in and of itself isn't that difficult considering, you know, this particular challenge, but working with white chocolate, that's hard. That takes skill, that takes practice and technique. It didn't have to be a crazy showstopper in the way that all of the other sculptures have been so far. So I was relieved to just see it be more about creating something that's tasty, beautiful, but not over the top.
Right. And I think it all comes down to that, to the showstopper. I think, you know, the other two challenges throughout the season have been, I think, pretty much what I had expected. But this was the closest into the showstoppers that I had anticipated having watched Series 5. And like it went from Nailed It to Diorama to I think even the bread plaque was like you're still having to like make things that represent things like little cardboard dough cutouts. But here it was more like this is an honor of something, and it wasn't asking them to make something that looked I don't know what the edible version of photorealistic is, cake-o-realistic. But it was really more like make something that celebrates something is, I think, a lot more interpretive in a good way than, you know, make something that displays these like
make your hero out of cake. It's like, no, you don't want to do that.
No.
So this was a bit more leaned into more of what I was expecting, and I was happy, and it was chocolate.
Yeah, and I thought the way they presented chocolate was satisfying to me. I was worried that we're just going to get hit in the face with just like, I don't know. I just thought we were going to get like some, like make a chocolate fountain or some stupid thing. But I was really happy with what we got. The signature challenge make a batch of 18 chocolate brownies. I love when it's like simple and it gives a lot of room for creativity. I think maybe our cast this week was like, we are on Bake Off. Let's do crazy things. When really they should have just scaled it back. And, but I worried that if they scaled it back, they would have been like, well, this is a brownie. Like, it's great, but I've had a million of this brownie. So I think there needs to be some sort of balancing act. I was surprised at how not well the signature challenge was.
Oh, I know. This like makes me not want to even try brownies. Like,
no,
like,
it's like
if these people can't do brownies, then I'm like screwed.
I'm an idiot. We know this. And I made flawless brownies a couple weeks ago. So I was like, because I had that one great experience with brownies, I was like, these people, they're going to be great. And it was a shit show. Yeah. I used the Joy of Cooking recipe, the chocolate brownies there. And I just sprinkled some mini M&Ms on it. And they turned out fabulously.
Mm. I will say that I'm terrible at brownies, but that's also because I make them eggless. And brownies, you know, historically have a pretty significant ratio of eggs to other ingredients in it. So I've probably had maybe everything that happened to the challenge participants happened to me before collectively, where it was like underbaked. It's too thick on one side. It's more of like a cake rather than like a fudgy gooey brownie. Too many other things on top of it. Didn't bake in time. All of that stuff. I've seen it all. I'm successful with brownies maybe 30% of the time, which is why I don't make them very often.
And I've only made brownies once in my life. And I think I think it was on the podcast as opposed to like before/after or that kind of pregame postgame chat. I'd mentioned how I'd heard the rumor that you could substitute pumpkin puree for everything in a brownie recipe. Like if you just had brownie mix, you just take the brownie mix, add pumpkin puree, boom, brownies. You don't have to put anything in, no flour, egg, milk, whatever. And it, was an interesting result. It was almost more, it needed to be more cakey. It was almost too like, almost like a fudged like consistency. It wasn't horrible, but it was one of those things where if you're expecting a brownie and you bit into it, you would be surprised. Not necessarily in a...
And not delighted.
Not delighted. It didn't taste pumpkin-y because I think, you know, pumpkin spice is what gives pumpkin pie the flavor, really. I think pumpkin in itself isn't very,
it's a pretty neutral flavor unless you're really trying to highlight the pumpkin specifically, but mix it with chocolate and it'll be chocolate heavy. Yeah,
exactly. It's like mushrooms in that effect. It takes on the flavor of what you mix it with.
Right. Or tofu.
Or tofu. So that's, I was at, again, yeah, I mean, if I'm going to make brownies, I need to graduate from through the mix, the pre-made mix levels before I get into the homemade versions. And I haven't even done that, but you know, perhaps I shall, perhaps I should.
Yeah. It's not as bad as they made it seem. I think they overcomplicated.
They complicated it. I think you're right, Haley. If it had been something where everyone just made a traditional brownie, there wouldn't have been as much to talk about probably. And Paul and Prue probably would have walked through and said exactly what you said, right? I've had a million of these before. This is a good brownie. This is a bad brownie, whatever. So I appreciate them trying to get a little creative with it, but also I think that they were really, it's a time sensitive thing because you want it to bake the right amount of time, but you still want it to be a fudgy consistency, but not too fudgy. It's tough not knowing what the center is going to look like necessarily. Like, yeah, you can stick a pin through it and kind of see if it's all the way done, but like,
but you want some chocolate on it.
Right.
That's the thing. It's not like other bakes where you're sticking a toothpick and hoping it comes out clean. You almost don't want it totally to come out clean.
Yeah. Yeah. And then putting additional ingredients and layers on top of that only complicates it further. So I think, you know, everybody was kind of in different levels of like, wait, is it done and does it look good? I don't know. Let me take it out. Oh, I took it out too early. Oh, yeah. I took it out way too late.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you go first. Okay.
I think that... Okay, I'm going first. I think Ermine did a correct thing. I think she had the correct idea of putting the raspberry and pistachio and white chocolate on top and not necessarily incorporating to the batter. I think where she went wrong, she should have done a white chocolate drizzle instead of like covering the whole thing. I think that would have been a much more effective.
I think that like that's what made Linda's brownies look so appealing, even if they weren't the right consistency. She just did like a quick drizzle over top. And, you know, when you walk up to something like that, it's much more inviting than seeing something that's caked over or like the praline one that Mark did. Mark. Right.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, boy, I don't know about this. So, yeah, it kind of depends, obviously. But I think the decoration, that we saw in a lot of these was sloppy. Oh,
it's God, like, yeah. Like, did they go to the hotel pub the night before?
I don't know. But I was like, woof. I mean, when Lottie's like, this looks like a car accident.
I mean, Lottie, I love you so much, but make a brownie. Like, there's no need to add cheesecake into it. I mean, that sounds delicious. Don't get me wrong.
Really good, but yeah.
And I think that one of the, like, even though you don't hear it, I haven't heard it spoken much, and maybe during the signature challenge, and maybe it happens in some of the other series, but I think, you know, I think, at least my like implicit understanding of the signature challenge is like, this is the opportunity for you to kind of put your own signature twist on this. So I do think what you both said in terms of like, if they just made a brownie and there was nothing, there was no signature element to this, then that would be kind of a miss. But at the same time, I'm not seeing a lot of, we hear on Top Chef a lot how they will like, oh, I could tell that this was so-and-so's dish because there is a particular twist to it. You don't necessarily see that a lot here. I think you to some extent with Sura, you would potentially be able to like some of the spices that she uses. If it's a reference to Mexico, it's probably Dave. But other than that, and I guess if it's like failed design wise, it's probably Rowan. But other than that, you don't really get necessarily a lot of like, oh, this is a signature, the signature look for so-and-so. I agree that they needed to do something different, but I'm surprised that a couple people even did steer into the white chocolate area, given that they knew that white chocolate was going to be the showstopper channel. Or maybe the thing is, is it kind of like a prisoner's dilemma sort of, you know, game of, well, nobody else is going to do white chocolate because we're all doing that tomorrow. But if I do it now, it will cause me to stand out. So I'm wondering if you know how the knowledge of what the showstopper is going to be, I wonder how that affects decisions for the signature.
That's true. I hated Peter's. I think that was stupid to put figs and dates into it. It made me mad. I don't think I've ever gotten mad about fruit and chocolate being mixed together before, but this made me angry, and I'm not entirely sure why. I was just like, why are you doing this? This doesn't work.
Do you? Like, it's the concept itself that you're upset with?
Yeah.
Or do you just hate Peter?
I don't hate Peter.
Are you sure?
Why do you hate Peter so much?
I don't hate Peter. I don't.
Young white males have such a hard time. I don't think we should be giving them any more trouble.
Is it the selection of the fruit?
I want him. No, I love those fruits. That's the thing. Like, I would eat a fig tart, no problem. I just bought medjool dates this week, so like, no problem. Pistachios, delicious. Love them savory or in a sweet thing. Why are they in a brownie? Okay. Get them out.
Okay.
Get them out. Also, Peter, cook for yourself, not your brother. Just saying that. I don't care about your brother. I'm here to see what you can do. That's it. I felt good to get off my chest, guys.
Wow. I do feel I know a little bit more about Peter's brother than I do about Peter. At this
right?
point.
It's too much.
He just graduated with a degree in mathematics.
Yeah, it's too much. He's we don't good. Need it. Move on.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I did. But you know what? I did like and was very intrigued. Nearing fascination, the upside down approach to it, because like,
no, I'm sure that like, was yeah neat. It looks beautiful neat. And like that I can't be mad at, but it's just, why are you doing this? And also like, they're such sweet components, so I'm sure like cut out, like he cut some of the sugar from the actual brownie because figs and dates are so sweet, but I don't love that. I just,
it starts to become something other than a brownie at that
point. And I can feel it, like thinking about eating that, especially given the fact that the cinnamon was so high, like was so intense, It feels cloying to me.
It feels like you'd be getting away from chocolate week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of these that felt cloying to me.
Yeah.
I get an upset tummy when things are too rich or too sweet. And that's one of the reasons I avoid white chocolate to begin with. Yeah. Anything caramel is not really up my alley. So the salted caramel drizzle and Italian meringue from Laura, it's not really what I'm going for. She wanted a salted caramel brownie s'more, but I didn't feel that went s'more at all. I didn't realize that s'mores were such like a North American thing. It wasn't like a European thing. I guess they can't have fires there. It's not enough room for fires. It's cobblestone.
Yeah, the s'mores did not go smoothly.
I like that. That was great, Kurt.
Well, even like Mark's can be s'more brownies, caramelized cranberries, Italian meringue, and chocolate chip cookie. Like, why do they think that Italian meringue is representative of a s'more? Like, babes, let's get some marshmallows.
Yeah, and get those cranberries out of there.
Yeah, that was...
What the hell?
I don't think I want to be biting a brownie and then having like a chunk of cranberry
that's
coming
like
at me.
Almost as bad as putting a raisin in something. Like, why are we doing that?
Yeah. There was a lot of meringue going on.
A lot of meringue? Like, why? When I think brownie, I do not go to meringue.
No.
Maybe this should actually make me feel better about attempting brownies. I don't
know. Because you're not going to do something stupid. No.
You're not going to get wild.
No.
Honestly, joy of cooking brownie recipe, it is money.
I didn't realize I had so much anger pent up about brownies. I feel really good now.
Good.
I'm glad.
I'm thinking like 18. I was like, okay, so you just make a big sheet and cut it into a 6x3 grid. Like, it doesn't matter how big it is. You just make sure you cut it into 18 sections. There was surprisingly little discussion of the merits of inner pieces versus edge pieces. Mm. Maybe that's more of a North American debate as well.
I like to cut mine almost like pizzas.
Oh, kind of like how Dave did it, right? His was round.
Yeah, I like a round brownie because then and then cutting it like a pizza.
Yeah, like a
wedge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess wedge is the shape and not pizza.
Fair.
I like to eat orange shaped so spheres. Yeah. Okay.
Because then you do get your edge, but you get the gooey center too. Like, you get the best of both worlds.
True. Wow. Yeah, I think this is a revelation.
Edge, with an edge brownie, it's a lot of edge. But when it's shaped like a wedge, then you have, like, I think more of a balance of, like, it's like 80% center, 20%.
Add a W to your edge, then you get a wedge.
Yeah, and then you can put a nice scoop of ice cream with it, and it feels like you're almost eating, like, pie.
I gotta say, a lot of these, I kept thinking, well, it's underbaked, but wouldn't it be so good with some ice cream on top of it? And then you just call it a brownie sundae.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm into that.
I mean, yeah, same.
So is there any of these brownies you would want to try?
No, I'm surprised that we joked about Dave having a lot of Mexican vacation influences in his food. I was kind of hoping for a Mexican hot
chocolate brownie.
Yeah.
And the cinnamon one was the closest one that got there, but there was so much else, other things going on with what you know, Peter had been doing, but I was hoping for something that was a little bit of a chili spice sort of chocolate, and that being like the only thing going on with it would have been great. But looking at what was there, I think no, not at all.
I think I'm gonna have to walk by this table.
Yeah.
Maybe Dave's honeycomb one, although I've had the honeycomb in chocolate before, and it can be a little bit like toffee, like molar, like filling puller sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe
like toffee just like isn't my thing. Like, I just don't love those super, super sweet candies. I much prefer a sour candy. And even brownies, I want like a little piece of brownie because I just find them a little rich for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I could have. For Laura's, I could have just flicked off the meringue and had this. Like, the salted caramel drizzle on a chocolate brownie would be fine. I'm not a huge caramel person. The Mark's praline buttercream in roasted macadamia. I think I would have maybe gone for that one.
I would agree.
That sounds good.
There was a lot going on with Linda's. The Turkish Delight. I can't think of Turkish Delight. I only think of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe whenever I hear Turkish Delight, because that's what the White Queen slash Witch fed to Edmund, like that first trip to Narnia. And
spoiler alert, I haven't read it.
It's in like chapter three. And I can't disassociate Turkish Delight from evil British women.
It just makes me think of the Turkish Twist, which was a ride at the local carnival every year at the Apple Blossom Parade in my hometown.
Was that like the Scrambler? Where
I don't know. We had like the Sizzler, the Cobra, Turkish Twist, and like five other things.
Restaurant or carnival ride?
Huh?
Zipper. It's a restaurant or carnival ride.
Yeah, and exactly.
Although I do know the Zipper. I do know the Zipper.
Zipper was scary.
Do not sign me up. You know what ride I love? I love anything that stays close to the ground and spins while also spinning.
So you're like a teacup person.
Yeah, I love the teacups.
Tilt-a-whirl.
Tilt-a-whirl, the Apple ones.
I enjoyed rides with audio animatronics.
Oh, okay.
I love a good plot.
Anyway. I can imagine 8-year-old Emily going to Disney.
Yes.
Being like, Mom, no, not Mom, Dad, Mother, Father, please, can I ride? It's a big world after a small world after all.
At age 8, it was a big world.
Small world after all is too much. I was
animatronic minus song.
Yeah, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's see.
Does the Jaws ride have some story to it, or is it just at the end it goes like
I never went on that. I don't know. I went on a lot of those rides. Oh, the Haunted House, Haunted Mansion.
I can't do anything even remotely scary, even if like a joke scary. No, I'm very soft. Mm. Unlike these brownies.
So
Then you graduate to once you're able to drink, then you go to the World Showcase part of Epcot Center and you drink and eat your way around the world.
That is the only way I would ever go back to Disney.
Yeah, totally.
If I have a child, I will lie to them and tell them Disney doesn't exist and everyone is trying to trick them like Santa. It's like, no, it's not real. Disney doesn't exist.
It's going to be a harsh reality when they figure out that it does.
Well, no, that's actually a pleasant reality. It's like you find out that something does exist that you didn't think did.
Mm,
that's
yeah.
a twist on the classic trope.
But I would only go to eat and drink through the food festival of Epcot.
I believe there's like a map or something that shows where you can go and like get away and like find like good drinks and like spots to like light up if you want to. That's where what I've heard about.
Like light up?
Yes.
Oh.
In Epcot.
Interesante.
But I
love a global village. What can I say?
I let me tell you, the margarita stand there, delicious.
I only went when I was 14. And I thought that was a pretty good age because I can remember it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, I don't know. I feel like now I could make, I just don't want to go. That's my thing. I'm just not a big Disney person. Like when I was, I didn't even like Disney movies growing up. I know. That's a hot take, I think. I mean, I didn't really like movies. Like I always just liked trash reality shows. Like, while all my friends were watching Cinderella, I was watching, like, Date My Daughter, like, lie detector shows.
Blind Date. Great.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Blind Date.
Do you see Seacrest on that before he was Ryan Seacrest?
No.
That's how I knew he was Ryan Seacrest. I was like, this guy was on Blind Date. He's a radio DJ.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. And then I looked it up on the internet like 5 years later and finally someone had connected the dots for me, but I knew.
You knew in your heart.
Yeah, I was like, I recognize this guy. Anyway.
I love a food festival. Maybe here's what I should do.
Okay.
Not go to Disney at all and just go to local food festivals.
Yes.
I love samples. I love going to a place where they're like, buy 15 tokens. You get a tiny sample for 2 tokens each. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. That's all I want. I just want, street tapas.
Okay. My biggest thing, I was supposed to go to the UK over the summer, and my now I go to Borough Market now every time that I go to the UK, and it's the food there. So amazing. so amazing.
And I'm craving a good experience like that. That sounds so nice now.
Whenever I
travel, should we set up an online food festival for ourselves?
Yes. Yeah.
As if like this podcast isn't an online food festival for us each and every week.
Mm, true.
What would that look like?
Kurt, give me a couple weeks to think about it.
Okay. All right.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Should we move on to Babka?
I want to move on to Babka. I have never been so inspired by a technical before. I very rarely watch technicals and go, you know what? Maybe I could do that. Mm-hmm. I watched Babkas and I thought, I think this should be a project for me. I want to make a Babka.
And more so than other technical challenges, I think we got a little bit more of a visual insight into the steps involved, like the rolling, the cutting down the middle, the braiding. It was more of, and maybe it's because this was like the one moment in Bake Off where I felt a little bit experientially superior in terms of, well, I know what a babka is, but none of these people do.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I have friends who have made babkas, and so this was a little bit fun, kind of like watching, like, I have no idea what this is. And I think, you know, part of the fun of a technical challenge is, like, you know, even saying I have no idea even what this should look like at the end. Because I, for some reason, I had thought coming into this, and I can't remember if they had done this in the American version or not, I thought that there was a visual cue that they were kind of given for the technical challenges, but there's not.
No.
And even then, it's somewhat amazing how, I guess, if you are kind of giving guidance into what kind of like pan to cook it in, it is going to kind of look roughly the same. But I did kind of like how at least everything seemed to be within the same ballpark. Some was just much more flat, some were you could just kind of see where people approached it differently, which I always appreciate during the shows. Like, everyone's doing this, but this person's taking this different approach. But yeah, I've had chocolate babka. I would potentially try to make this as well.
Yeah, I feel inspired to do it too. I've been wanting to do it with my sourdough for a long time. But because it's an enriched dough and sourdough is so unforgiving a lot of the time, I'm like, maybe I should just do straight normal commercial yeast and then figure out how to make an enriched dough without the eggs, which is not that hard to do. It's just not considered like a traditional enriched dough, right? So I could make like a normal bread recipe, basically.
You got nobody judging you. So
I mean, my husband does, but you know.
Oh. Oh, yeah. But I feel like all of his judgments are like 9 out of 10, yeah. 8 out of 10, 15 out of 10.
The only judgment I get from him is like, why did you use so many bowls that I have to clean now? And I'll be like, sorry, I like to use a lot of dishes.
I also like to use a lot of dishes, and Ethan gets upset. And I'm like, you're not cleaning them. I always clean my own dishes when I bake.
Yeah, see, I try to push it off where it's like, if I do the cooking, maybe you should do the cleaning.
I do that in regular cooking, but when I have a baking project, I'm like, this is on me.
Actually, usually that's what I do too, to be fair. But it typically coincides with a meal I already made as well, so everything's just sitting there waiting to be handled, and he'll be like, oh, really? But it is what it is.
I liked that the babka is different enough from the brownie. Like, mm-hmm. It's a bread, not a cake. And then even then, like, the cake challenge was different enough from the brownie challenge. And cake, well, it's, I don't know.
But I felt like the babka wasn't crazy. Like, it was oh, okay, yes, this totally makes sense. And I thought it was a fairly successful challenge, obviously. Mm-hmm. A couple people had some issues with it, but I don't think it was like, oh, like, these are shortbreads and not cakes or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I thought it worked. And I was really excited for Linda. I thought the way it came out, I was like, this is stunning. This
her second time in a row being at the top of the
good for her.
I was worried the first episode. I thought she was going to be an early departure.
Yeah.
I think I said during the preview show how I've discovered really quickly I have a soft spot in my heart for the older females in the competition. And so I'm glad to see she's
got to celebrate in her shed with a pint. She did well. Oh, yeah.
And then what was it that she was she fishing? What was she doing?
Oh yeah, she like fishes. She does all sorts of great like recreational stuff. I love it.
Yes. And I know equal amounts about Linda and her husband compared to the Peter and his brother scenario, where I know much more about the brother. This is okay. This is permissible.
Yeah.
And she just got this like youthful spirit around her, although it seems like everything she bakes is tied to somebody who has passed, which is a little bit.
I know. I was thinking about that, where I was like, maybe we don't make like tribute cakes for people anymore, because I feel like that tends to be the downfall, where there's like too much emotion tied to it. And then the judges have to come through and be like, it's not good. And it like crushes my soul, because I'm like, no, but it's for her daughter. Let her alone. Like.
And this takes us back to our favorite movie about cooking with emotions, Emily, where it gets baked into
Simply Irresistible. I'm trying so hard to get Josh to watch it. I think I'm going to bring it up on the Patreon movie podcast as one of my picks soon.
You know, I will low-key support that.
Okay, cool. Okay. Because I keep being like, Josh, it's got everything. It's a love story. There's a magical crab. And he's like, excuse me? What more could you want? It's Sarah Michelle Gellar at her like prime. You know, she's got red hair in this.
Oh, joy.
I know. Anyway. But yeah.
Who's like approach in making the babka were you most like invested in? Like in terms of like, okay, let's just see how this turns out.
Sura. Yeah. Like, cause the way she like had it so long and she looked at everyone else's and was like, huh. Okay. together. I was like, I think that's a good call.
It was between her and Lottie.
Oh, Lottie.
Like, it's draping over the edge. And I'm like, why would, and maybe I am biased by knowing what the end result should look like, or, you know, I was like, why wouldn't you either just hack off the ends?
Right.
And then just shove it in there.
Yeah.
Or just hack off one end. So the other one, I don't know, or tuck it under. Like she said, maybe I should have tucked it under, but it was just kind of like,
I laughed really hard
hanging off the edges. And
I was laughing really hard at that, because it was the kind of thing where it's like, Lottie, come on, you know better than this. You know what to do.
But she also knew that if she just kind of lopped off the edges after it was baked, then that would also ding her points. Because I think we saw one of the previous weeks where the things were baked too close together and you could see where they had to be cut to separate them. And that was like deemed unprofessional. So I could see where like she's conscious of that. But I was happy to see the babka.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, cinnamon babka or chocolate babka. What's your preference?
Guys, I've never had a babka before. I haven't
had a babka either. Not because of the eggs. I just haven't had one.
So embarrassing for us, Kurt.
Do you miss the like history explainer of the technical that they used to do in the episode?
Like traditionally from.
Yeah, where like
an Eastern European, you know,
Mel would go to like the Czech Republic.
Delicacy, yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe that was.
Yeah, it would be like a little snippet here and there. Yeah, yeah. I always loved that stuff, but you know, I'm like a food history nerd, mm-hmm. so I'm totally into that.
I wouldn't mind it, I don't think. I think I'd be open to it. I'd be open to learning.
Always a good thing.
So I guess they're just not. Are they like? They're just not big in the UK. And this is where we'll get people tweeting us. But it's
babkas.
Like, yeah, like it's more again. This I've kind of associated a little bit more with like a Jewish deli. It's a little bit more like riding the wave of the bagels challenge from last.
Prue even says it too, where she's like, "Oh, I've only had this in New York."
Yeah.
So I think it's, and then she's like, this one's even better. And Paul's like, well, I didn't make it. I think I would like to think that there are scores of different bakes that are uniquely United Kingdom based that they're going to keep recycling or inserting into these challenges. But overall, maybe because they know they have such an international following now, they're trying to expand a little bit.
Oh, potentially.
I don't know. But it's also probably the kind of thing where, like, they've made enough seasons of this now, series of these now, where people who are on the in the competition might look back and be like, oh, they did this, and they study it, right? So it's less of a surprise for them the way that it might have been the first couple of series. Is that a fair theory to have? I don't know. Like,
I think it could be reasonable.
Yeah.
Have they ever done a technical where it's like recreate something? Like the series 6 dish, like, received rave reviews.
Oh.
No,
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. It usually seems like it's something that's batched, where you have to make like a certain number of something and you're looking for consistency.
Mm-hmm. And each season feels very singular.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not
a lot of shout-outs. Although we did have the listening for the batter. They were listening to the brown, weren't they? In terms of making sure they were still a little bit gooey inside, mm-hmm. you hear a little bubbling. That was even though that was done in the first episode, I think even in the first episode, they said, you know, someone on this season had done that and I learned it from them. That's mm-hmm. the only time I really hear that I've heard a call back to a previous season.
Yeah.
Should we get show stopped?
Let's do it.
White chocolate celebration cake with a particular celebration in mind, with a minimum of 2 layers. I thought this was a good challenge for a showstopper. We kind of talked about that at the top of the episode. Mm-hmm. And I thought people did pretty well with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say so.
You had some cases of some overbaking, but even when it was overbaked, they seemed to like the flavors. Although I take issue with Peter's statement, everybody loves white chocolate. Who does?
Lies.
I'm out.
Straight up lie. Yeah.
Maybe your brother does, Peter, but.
Exactly. Your brother loves gluten-free white chocolate cakes. Get out of here. So mad.
I love it. Like the first 3 episodes, it's like, there's like a lot of love and respect for Peter. And this one, we're just like, you know what?
No,
we just have to have one like Peter triggered episode. Yeah, not a huge, I mean, that was the only issue I had with the showstopper, is that it was white chocolate. And even then it was like, it's fine, but it's a distant fourth out of the 3 kinds of chocolate there are in my mind.
Right.
There's like dark, for me, it's dark chocolate, milk chocolate, .. white chocolate.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even like milk chocolate. Like, I just like dark chocolate.
I don't love milk chocolate.
I do think that because white chocolate is so sweet, a lot of people made some good choices with the fillings. Mm-hmm. Using like a black currant jam, I thought was a good idea. Passion fruit, mm-hmm. Mango, lemon, raspberries, kind of bringing those tart flavors to balance out the sweetness, I thought was a good move by a lot of these people.
Agreed.
So much mango this season.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mango curd and I don't hate that. Maybe the fruit topping. There were no blackberries, unfortunately.
There were currants, though.
There were currants, which you're trying to get me to.
You gotta do it.
I would have taken dyed the white chocolate pitch black. So it's like it's a black white chocolate cake. So it still tastes like white chocolate, but it's pitch black. So
I bet it would have messed it up, though, because it's so temperamental.
Oh, maybe. Not the way I do it. I just throw a bunch of pumpkin puree and everything ends up fine.
You could do like a red velvet chocolate white cake.
There you go.
I don't know about that. I thought these cakes were pretty successful in both flavors and design. I really love the look of Lottie's cake. I thought that was cool. Mark, of course, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really nice. I even thought Shiraz, I like the look of it. It was a little sloppy, but I listen, it's 45 times better than anything I could ever do.
What do we think about Peter's decision to put chunks in versus like having it more smoothly blended?
Hate it.
I feel like that was like a softball question to Emily.
Of course.
Right across the plate.
Hate it. Couldn't hate it more. But I think the flavor profile he picked sounds delicious. I would eat the crap out of this, but I hate the chunks. I don't think, like, you know how he says, even he's like, who doesn't love biting into a piece of cake and getting like a surprise chocolate? Like, no, not a surprise white chocolate chunk.
I worry for my teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if Mary Berry was still here being the judge. She would have lost her fronts. Like, it would have been gone.
Oh, my word. Gotta say, loved Prue's outfit this week. I love her glasses. Oh, my God, so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very into Prue's looks.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like everybody... This was the one where Paul had said... You know, because a lot of when you have white chocolate in the cake batter, it's going to brown quicker. You're going to have to leave it in the oven longer than you think because it's going to brown quicker on the outside because of the high sugar content. But you need to make sure it's in there long enough so the center's baked. Was that the tricky part of this?
Talking about who had the Frazier cake? Dave? Where he was like, I hate the color of this. Is that right?
I think it was during the baking stages where he's like, it's going to, because because of the white chocolate, there's a higher sugar content. It's going to look brown in the oven faster, but you're going to need to leave it in there longer. So the center bakes.
Right.
And I think he said some people might have trouble with that. And a lot of people, I think we did see take it, like even I think specifically also Laura, like some people took it out of the oven and then thought it was done. And then it's like, I just did the knife test or whatever, or the toothpick test. And it's like, no, it's still not done in the center. I have to put it back in.
Yeah.
It seemed like the issue was the heat, again, in terms of the chocolate decorations / garnishments or whatever you would want to call it. Yeah, do something about that heat. Just turn down the heat outside, right?
Yeah, I mean... That I think was like the single most difficult thing was dealing with an already temperamental ingredient such as white chocolate and then having environmental issues on top of it, right?
What was it that happened? Was it Lottie's brownie where she put it in the where it defrosted the freezer?
Yeah,
and it dripped all over her. Was that the brownie though?
Yeah, that was the brownie. Okay. But still, you know, I think. The stuff that's hard about a lot of these challenges is that you only have a certain amount of time to work on everything. So the cooling aspect in baking is a really important part of the process and is often, you know, the last thing considered in a lot of these situations because of, you know, other things that pop up, you know, time constraints in general, all of that stuff. Like there were so many moments, especially in this particular episode where everyone's like, I'm not taking it out yet. And you're like, oh God, but like you have like 10 minutes once you do, and that's not enough time to do X, Y, and Z. I was devastated by Syrah's cake.
Listen, okay. So
devastated.
I followed two people on Instagram from this season. My mistake. But I couldn't help myself. I followed Syrah and I followed Lottie. So I knew early in the week that Syrah went home, that this was her week. I've been preparing myself, but nothing could prepare me for when Paul cut into her cake and he said, this is raw. We cannot eat it. I just was like, no.
Yeah. Devastating.
No. I'm so heartbroken to have her go. Mm-hmm. And for the bottom two, essentially, to be between Syrah and Lottie, it just felt like such a big F you to me personally.
Yes, 100%.
And I'm devastated. Everyone around was devastated. It's clear how much everyone loves Syrah, how much they loved having her in the tent. Even Noel said that she was his favorite. Don't tell anyone else. I'm so sad.
I am too.
Yeah,
I can't believe we had Rowan for 3 weeks. We only get Syrah for 4.
Yeah. It feels like, well, when I was looking kind of at the cast who remains, I was like, okay, someone's going to leave, but she's consistently not done well the first two challenges. She's got to nail this final one. And as soon as I saw her start to have issues, I was like, no. Like, I can't say goodbye to her yet. I don't want to. Even her departing words to the camera, like her outro basically being like, I'm never going to have chocolate again. Like, oh no. So
I just what a personality we're losing. Mm-hmm. I'm so disappointed. But looking at the cast, it's like, we're down to it. We've got a bunch of people who I'm going to be surprised every week with who goes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I think like after the first couple of weeks, there's people who are here now that after the first couple, Linda, like that's the first couple of weeks, I wouldn't have been surprised if Linda had gone, but now I would be surprised if Linda goes. And everybody, including Linda, I want to stick around. Yeah, it was for me having Lottie and Sarah on the bottom was tough. And I've been a big, obviously Lottie stan, I think since day one. So that was the only saving grace here for me. And you're always like, you know, every time that like my mom has ever made like cake, it's like you always get to lick the cake batter off the spoon. I would be joyous if I bit into a cake and there was just cake batter oozing out. What's wrong with that?
I think it's the eggs.
No? So it's like, again,
hang out with me. If I underbake a cake, you guys could eat it. No, I found it striking that Lottie's hair was suddenly down. I was like, oh no, what's happening? Did you guys notice that at all?
I did. I'm always concerned when women wear their hair down in the kitchen.
Well, it was like after the bake had happened,
yeah,
and people were judged, and then suddenly like her hair was just down, and I was like, what's going on? Continuity, I'm confused.
I did not notice this.
You didn't notice this? She's your number one.
It's always hard for me to understand because there's very rare scenarios where after I'm done doing something, I take my hair down. I'm like top knot or bust. Like I don't wear my hair down very often, especially in the kitchen. Oh, I hate when people go into the kitchen and they're like, I have my hair down today. I'm like, how do you not have hair in everything?
Well, isn't it like a health and safety violation?
In a working kitchen, absolutely.
Yeah, in a working kitchen, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe because this is a TV show, it doesn't count.
Yeah, when we used to do cooking classes, people would show up and they'd have like long hair. Like my hair right now, their hair would be long and they'd just be like doing this and then like cutting onions. And I was like, oh God, we're going to find that later. but yeah, anyway, I'm glad that Lottie didn't go. But I'm devastated that Sarah's gone.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Kurt. I think we're at the level where like everyone has proven themselves in at least one or two challenges to the extent that they're deserving of being here. So it's going to be tougher and tougher as we watch people get eliminated from here on out. Whereas with Rowan, we were like, okay, your number's up, bud. Time to go.
How sweet was it that Lottie was like, the only thing that makes up for like the sadness of losing Sarah is that Mark won. I'm like, Lottie, like usually they use that opportunity to be like, well, that was me cutting it close. Yeah. But I like that she was like, I love Sarah, but I love Mark.
Yeah. And I've noticed that she and Mark have like great banter. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Where they like giggle to each other. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know, he is a married man, Lottie.
I love the giggle. I love the workroom giggle, man.
I do too. So
and it was something that did strike me during the first series I watched was that they do rotate positions each episode, which mm-hmm. I thought was kind of interesting, especially during the technical challenges where you have a different, sometimes you might be kind of quote unquote at the back, at the front of the class where you can't really easily see what scope out what everybody's doing. But if you're in the back or in the middle, you have a little bit more of a range of, well, nobody's, you know, everybody's still proofing. You know, I think they were placed, I think, you know, adjacent this episode. Maybe the production will split them up just to save Mark's marriage next week.
Oh, speaking of Mark's marriage, sort of. Dave and his girlfriend had their baby this week.
Yay! Finally,
congrats to Dave and his girlfriend and baby Ronnie.
Ronnie, like short Ronnie. For Ronald.
I don't. Veronica. Veronica. No, it's I let me look. Dave_Friday.
Because I ran into the same issue you did, Haley, with like I followed all these people on Instagram and then I realized I need to be careful about watching Instagram.
You're gonna get spoiled, yeah.
But no, I've been good. It's like I will view Instagram like with my hand up over the screen until I can see whose name is at the top.
I would take like a lot of work. Mute the stories.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't do a lot of story viewing. That's the thing.
Okay.
Or, I'll selectively choose a story to watch from the list.
Baby Ronnie.
I love that.
Doesn't seem to be a short form for anything, but whoops.
It's a baby girl, right?
It's a girl?
No, it's a boy.
Oh, it is a boy. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was a girl. It was maybe short for Veronica.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Ronnie can go either way. So there you go. But congratulations to Dave and his girlfriend. That's great.
And their baby, Cancun.
I know, right?
So,
yeah. Kurt,
what have you been making this week?
I've had a lot of failed uses of my oven this week. I bought this garlic bread that you just heated in the oven in the foil. And I did that, and it just tasted really kind of off.
Hmm.
It tasted a little chemically. I was like, huh, not great. And then I tried to, I guess this was on the stovetop, I tried to make a, I had a slice of ham steak.
Ooh, I love a slice of ham steak.
It's not honey baked ham, Emily.
Oh, too bad.
I'm irritating your husband about making sure that we can get that to happen still.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. So I heated up some of it. I diced it up and put it on heated on the stovetop and kind of heated it. I guess I don't know what you would call it. And then I mixed in some egg. And I melted some cheese on top of it. And I tried putting it on top of the garlic bread. It was a mess. It was okay. It's just not been really stellar uses of my cooking stuff in the kitchen. I did have some good dining out experiences. I've come to just figure out that fig spread on a burger is one of my favorite toppings. It's so good. And I had sushi nachos, which were like wonton crisps with sashimi tuna, like seaweed salad, a wasabi aioli, some sesame seeds, a couple other kind of toppings. That was actually very good. And then today for lunch, I am going to Miss Chi Cafe, which is run by Chef Shirley Chung of Top Chef, going there for lunch today. I believe it's in Culver City. I've had takeout from there before and it was very good. Doing their patio dining today.
Nice.
So looking forward to that.
That sounds delicious.
I forgot that like patio dining can still be a thing in places and it's not like 7 degrees everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it's like
Celsius, 7 degrees Celsius.
Yeah. So that's
like
50 something.
44. 40 something.
Yeah. Gonna ride that wave for as long as we can here.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Emily,
what
do you make?
Let's see. So I got a lot of really exciting cookbooks this week that I had pre-ordered or were on lists of sort of like best fall cookbooks.
Tell me more.
So I bought Leah Cohen's cookbook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Lemongrass and Lime. So Leah Cohen of Top Chef fame. We love her restaurant Pig and Cow in the city. And we always go there for like the same few dishes. So I was really excited to nab a copy of that. And last night I made some coconut rice that she has a recipe for, and then made a Thai roast chicken. So you can check it out on my Instagram story, where it's just, you're basically, you have a whole roast chicken, you brine it, and then you put fish sauce and soy sauce over it and let it sit for a while. And then you baste it with honey and more soy, as well as shallot and garlic oil, and then let that roast.
Lovely.
So yeah, that was like a good twist on a roast chicken, because I usually just do the same thing over and over again, which is always delicious. But like Josh was like, why don't we just mix it up a little? And then I made a really good mushroom salad to go with that. And then earlier in the week, I made Japanese rice bowls, which were tasty. Josh, I think, posted the picture of how I put my rice bowl together versus how he put his together in the Discord. So you guys can check that out if you are patrons of Post Show Recaps. And then also, what else did I make? I don't know. Like chicken thighs and Brussels sprouts, because that's a delicious combination, you know? Just like a very simple, easy thing to put together. But yeah, a lot of really cool cookbooks that I've gotten. Oh yeah, my lemongrass and lime cookbook is literally holding the mic up right now. It's a great book. I love it.
Like I said last week, it was Thanksgiving. So we did end up making turkey brie and cranberry paninis, and those are really delicious.
They look so good.
Oh, it was, I love cranberry on stuff like that. Monday night, because we had Monday off, Ethan had Monday off from work, so we made our own chicken wings. We had bought them a couple weeks ago, had them in the freezer. We borrowed my dad's deep fryer, and they turned out wonderfully. Like, we were amazing. Super excited. We put them in a honey hot sauce, and it was delicious. We were able to cook more this week because we were home. Thursday, I made chicken noodle soup, which was really, really good. And I also made some mini pumpkin pies. My grandmother had given me some crust, so I used that and made my own pumpkin pie for the first time. That turned out well. So yeah, it was a better cooking week for me than I have had in the last few.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, I guess anything else? Anything else about this episode or anything else going on? Emily, you got projects going on right now?
Yeah, man. I'm podcasting a lot now. It's pretty fun. So we're doing our post-show recaps patron movie like theater sort of experience. I'm blanking on what we call it. What do we call it? Post-show recaps theater?
That's what the T stands for.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been watching a movie a week. This month is spooky week or spooky month, so we've been picking spooky movies. It's been really fun to recap those with a special guest each week. And then I've also been podcasting about Pen 15 with Josh and my best friend Lee from home, and that's been really fun. We're going to wrap that up this coming week and then probably do one more show after that and then figure out our next move. So you can check all of that stuff out on poshorecaps.com.
Kurt, you got any projects?
I actually have, I'm in the process of potentially of being part of a streaming project that's off network that once that gets going, I will plug it. Otherwise, not really. I say just, I am going to be going on a bit of a food excursion, for a good chunk of next week. So if you want to see.
Kurt disappeared.
Kurt, the food excursion. We need the food excursion.
He's like, just kidding. It's not going to happen.
Rough. We might not be able to get Kurt back here.
Yeah, we might have lost Kurt. You know what?
We'll plug his in. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Kurt Clark with two C's. The Bachelorette started back up this week, so you can catch me here on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups Network talking about The Bachelorette with Amy. I think we're in for a real fun season. It's going to be wild. It's going to be very, very dramatic. So I'm excited about that. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. You can check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. That's the usual, so. Pack up your sand mixers and head on out. Bye.
Bye.